accidents happen, or kids make bad choices, and we just need to deal with what is happening, not your emotion about what's happening.
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to Weekly Wisdom for Parents. I'm Alicia Lyons.
I'm Melanie Soloway.
I'm Deanna Gale, Imad.
And today we're going to talk about the truth about lies. So this weekend, my son accidentally broke his school computer, and he was afraid of getting in trouble, and so he lied about how it got broken. And I've always kind of told him that I will be more upset about the lie than about the wrongdoing. And in this case, I was really reflecting. I was like, yeah, I technically wasn't even mad about the lie because I knew the age appropriateness of what lying is. But we had there not been a lie, there wouldn't have been a consequence beyond this like idea of natural consequences, which I'll let Melanie explain if she wants to. But I knew that there might be some kind of fee for the computer, and we told him you would only have had to do some chores for that fee, but if there was one, but since there was a lie, you get to do the chores regardless of if there's a fee or not.
So one of the questions that I had for you, right, when Alicia, when you were telling the story, was how did Xander feel? Mm-hmm. And you elaborated a little bit on how the truth came to, how it came to into fruition. So I don't know if you want me to paraphrase what you had said, or if you want to explain that a little bit to unpack that.
Yeah. So I knew it was a lie from the moment that it came out of his mouth, because it didn't make any sense. And I wasn't going to outright accuse him of lying without any proof beyond my feelings. And I wasn't home at the time, so I was going to wait till I got home. My fiance was home, and he knew it was a lie as well, and he was a little more creative in how he got the lie to come out, because we have, you know, one of those Ring cameras that records movement. And so he said, are you sure that's the story you want to stick with? Because we have audio of what actually happened. And so there were two children in the mix that they conspired on how they were going to explain what happened and how it broke. The other kid broke first and said, well, I guess we're caught. And what was very clear to me was his feelings, what he was afraid of. He was afraid of being in trouble for breaking the computer. He was afraid that we weren't going to love him anymore because of this accident. And I don't remember what else I said that he was afraid of, but do you recall?
Well, so yeah, I mean, I think that it's clear, like, why, what was the reason for him lying, right? The reason for him lying is because he was scared. He was scared he was going to get into trouble, and he was scared that he was going to lose your love. And so that is what motivated him to lie. I love that you were parenting purposefully enough to understand and realize and recognize that the lying is something that is developmentally appropriate at his age, and that he might feel that way, right? And so your reaction, what you described, was very different than it might otherwise had been had you not learned what you, you know, if you didn't know what you know now, you might have reacted very differently. But because you know what you know now, understanding that, you could treat him with compassion and love in his lying versus just reacting, right? In a from a punitive perspective. And so really, what was the natural consequence? The natural consequence was when he then came forward and told you the truth, the natural consequence is that he felt bad. He felt bad about what he had done, and he felt bad about what that he had lied. Because of the loving that you showed him in recognizing what he had done, acknowledging mistakes are made, reassuring him that you love him. And so one of the questions that you asked was, well, should I still have imposed a consequence? And really, we use consequences as parents synonymously with punishment. When we say, well, should I have given a consequence? Well, no, what you're really asking me is, should I still have punished him? And the question then as a parent for you that I would ask you is, do you feel like he got the lesson? And so what you didn't do, and Deanna, I'm going to let you speak to this, was what you didn't do was you didn't shame him. And by not shaming him, you kept his self-esteem intact, because that's what ends up happening. So Deanna, I know we were all talking about this, so why don't you pick up on that, what happens with the lying and the self-esteem?
Oh, excuse me. So when our children lie to us and we find out and we know that they're telling, you know, a lie to protect themselves from getting in trouble, right? So they don't get in trouble. And yet we do have to allow them to have the natural consequences. Right. And therefore, it is very important how you respond to them when you find out the truth, because they're going to pair this up inside with what it's like to tell the truth. What happens? What does my parent do when they tell the truth? So if you are loving and just allow them their natural consequences, but also talk to them about how important the truth is, because this is how they gain their self-esteem and self-worth. This is really important, because if they lie, then they start to live in this web of lies, because you can't just tell one lie. You got to keep up with the other lies that match this lie, and which creates tremendous anxiety and stress in your child, right? So it's for them, it's for their own sake to come and be honest and tell the truth, because, and that you want to give them a safe space to tell the truth. You want to make it appealing to tell the truth. Like, you're not going to get in trouble. We're going to work this out. There will be natural consequences, but to not be angry and to just meet them with compassion or whatever's going on with them, because, you know, accidents happen or kids make bad choices, and we just need to deal with what is happening, not your emotion about what's happening. So part of this is you taking care of yourself so you can respond with compassion and loving, but also teaching your child that when they tell the truth, it creates greater trust between the two of you and inner trust for them. Like, they trust themselves. They do what they say they're going to do. And that's how you build trust in any relationship, is that you watch the person. If they do what they say they're going to do, you can trust them. And that's how you build trust inside yourself and with others.
And I've told Xander specifically, like, that he can tell me anything. And I've told some other parents, like, things that he's told me, and the shock that they have is like, he told you that? It's like, yeah, because I've always told him, like, you can tell me anything and I will love you no matter what.
So you've
created... My children tell me all the time things I don't want to know or hear. Like, but thank you. You know, thanks for letting me know. Yeah. And so I have to meet them with that loving and acceptance and compassion and give them that safe space, because I really want it, even though it's not easy to hear always.
Yeah. And I love this concept of what you're saying about safe space, right? Like my son, also it was like 3 weeks ago, like told me something and he said, "Mom, you know, I'm just letting you know that this is what I'm going to do. I could lie to you and then, you know, but I'm going to do it anyway." So I was kind of in the same situation that you are, right, Deanna, like with a 17-year-old teenager kind of going, maybe I don't really want to know, you know what I mean? But on the other hand, I really appreciated that, because I'm like, you know what? I'm really grateful that you feel safe enough with me that you can say that to me. And then I can have a discussion with him and say, do you want to know what I think about why you should or shouldn't do something, or what my opinion is about this? Or, you know, and he may say no. And he's going to be 18. And you know what? At this point, like, he is going to have to learn the consequences of life. And he may or may not want my suggestion, but at least this way, when he comes to me this way, I can at least offer it, right? But not come down on him for what his choices are going to be. And then just be there to listen and be there to love and be there to accept and be there to know, well, you know what? If life will give them their consequences, you know? And so the other thing, going back to what you had said specifically, Alicia, was, you know, if you had given him more of like what you were asking me, which again, I think was more about, should I have given him more of a punishment, right? It wasn't really more of a consequence. It was like, should I have punished him? Well, if you had punished him, what would that have resulted in? That would have resulted in potentially like him feeling even worse about himself, right? And potentially being upset with you and disconnecting from you. So what does it really accomplish? It really wouldn't have accomplished, it would have accomplished probably less than more. And you then saying you need to, you know, well, there's going to be chores if there's a cost for this, right? And you're going to need to do something to pay for it. That's a natural consequence. That's what happens in life. If we break something, or we break, you know, we're in a store and something drops and falls, what do we need to do? We need to pay for it, right? We chose to pick it up. So that's teaching more of a life lesson, right? But it's also then keeping our kids' self-esteem intact, which, and it is, again, just creating that safe space. And that truly is the truth about lies, is that our kids are going to lie. And if we really are honest with ourselves, do we even sometimes lie? Sometimes we lie to ourselves, you know? And so really like thinking about that. But I think for some of us, there is some, you know, like we've been lied to in a relationship, and it's, you know, so it creates, well, my kid is going to become a liar, and they're going to lie to their spouse, and it's going to break, you know what I mean? We future forecast and we future trip over it, versus really just putting in the context that it needs to be, and be like, this is something we just need to be able to have truly honest conversation around.
Well, definitely if you punish them and shame them, they will definitely learn and create a habit of lying, because everyone wants to avoid being shamed and punished. That's just our natural reaction to it. So that would, in fact, teach them to do that, to behave in that way.
And like you said, it's like you can't just tell one lie. Like a lot of times you have to tell a lie in order to cover the first lie. And it just becomes this web of lies. And it's, and none of that feels good. And eventually you will get caught.
Right.
And so you end up just postponing and growing that shame feeling versus just telling the truth and accepting the natural consequences of breaking the laptop.
And it's important for us as parents, right? Going back to what Deanna was saying and what you did and what I did is actually creating that safe container for them to experience that in their bodies.
And that was something that I that I explained to him is like, I want you to mess up while you're a kid because I want to help you learn how to deal with the mess ups. I don't want you to have a perfect childhood and turn 18 and now you're out in the real world and something's going to happen. Not that there's any kind of scenario where we could have a perfect childhood, right. But if a lot of times that's what we're trying to create as parents, and if we were to succeed at creating this perfect childhood, we're not going to be around forever. And what we're creating in that situation is we're throwing them out into the world to figure it out on their own.
And yeah, just think about the level of anxiety that gets alleviated once you tell the truth. And then if you tell a lie, that anxiety continues, right? Right. It doesn't alleviate. So it's just, it helps your child to be healthier and in every way.
Yeah. And the other thing you said, Alicia, that I just want to piggyback on before we end our session today is, you know, you said, I want you to learn while you're in, you know, before you're 18, so that when you go out at 18, what happens at 18 and what happens after 18 is not that they don't mess up or they don't make mistakes. And when I say they, I mean we, right? As human beings, we know that. But what we've established, if we've done it this way before they turn 18, is them knowing that once they do start to like leave the house and fly the coop and blah, 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 that they can always come home, that safety net is there for them to come back to us. And we are a safe place for them to come to. And that keeps the connection. We've created that connection. And then that continues the connection as they go into adulthood. And that's ultimately, I mean, you know, if that's what we want as parents, then that's the way we need to approach our parenting and be purposeful about it. So on that note, do either of you have anything else you want to share on this topic?
No.
All right. So that is the truth about lies. And then the truth about our support group is that next week we will meet again at 9 a.m. on Tuesday Pacific time as normal for our weekly parent support group. And the week after that, on Tuesday the 23rd, we will be switching to a new time. It will still be, you know, the parent support group, but we'll be doing it at 12 noon. And we want to invite you to come where we will be doing a live support group in the Zoom room. If you can bring your questions and also bring your lunch if you're on Pacific time and that's what your lunchtime is.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
And until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Momming. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alishalyons.com. See you next time.